verses 21 through 28. Hear now the word of God. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
It is so exciting to see the video that Jeff did. I want to thank Jeff for the video this morning. And I also want to tell you how excited we are that Will is coming. And I hope that you will take this opportunity to invite young people, your youth, grades 6 through 12, to come and be a part of our fellowship. Because I think great things are fixing to start happening among our youth. And we are so excited about the new opportunities that we're going to have in the area of youth ministry. So please be in prayer. I hope you'll pray for Will. We all need prayer. We need to pray for our staff. We need to pray for me. But we also need to pray for Will as he begins this new phase of his life and this new area of ministry. And we are so blessed to have him as a part of our team here at Chamblee First. So this morning, Jeff read for you the passage from Mark 1. Tells about Jesus showing his power over unclean spirits. And I think it's so ironic that it was the demons who recognized Jesus as the Son of God, while the people who were in the crowd, who were at church that day, did not have a clue who he was. And this raises an interesting question for me this morning. If we met Jesus on the street today, if Jesus walked through the doors of this facility this morning, would we recognize him as the Holy One of God? Now, being able to recognize him is related to what we expect from him. Do we need a leader with a charismatic personality to inspire us? Or do we need a wonder worker to set things straight that have run amok? Do we need a caregiver who will bring comfort to the wounded spirits among us? Do we need a moral authority who will teach us how to make right decisions? Would you this morning recognize Jesus? And what would Jesus want to do for you? Now, I must admit that this approach is kind of dangerous, because I realize that these questions that I have just asked are very self-centered questions. They reflect the consumer mentality that permeates our society today. You know, what's in it for me? It's all about me. But Christianity is not that. It begins with the question, what does God want for me? Jesus came to earth to reveal God's will for us. Jesus came to show us what God has done for us and will continue to do for us. Jesus came to earth to reveal God's will for us. Jesus came to show us what God has done for us. Jesus came to answer the question, what does God want for us and from us? And that's what I want us to think about for a few minutes this morning. Now, if you look back at the Mark story, it's a story of Jesus and a demon-possessed man. Mark makes it very clear that this poor man facing Jesus had somehow been invaded by a force that was outside of himself and over which he had no control. And there's a great deal of conversation in our world today over what it means to have an unclean spirit. You see, experts say that folks thought it was mental illness back in the day. And those experts claim that people back then regarded all illness to be some form of demon possession. Oddly enough, things haven't changed a whole lot in 10,000 years of history. Because you see, we live in an age of modern medicine, but we still are subject to the maladies that defy scientific explanation. Oh, I know that there's medical research, and there are new drugs and better treatments that come out every day. But it remains that many of the ailments that we have, we cannot explain why we get them. Ask anyone who has a family member suffering from depression, for example. Depression plagues many people, despite the various drugs that we try and take. And some experts claim it is due to some kind of a chemical imbalance. Others think it's rooted in our emotions or how we were raised. No one has a clear-cut answer. There's a prayer that goes, "Oh God, you know that we cannot withstand the dangers that surround us." None of us has any guarantees in this life. Any of us could be assaulted by a myriad of things that happen in our world, whether that be accident or illness or even a drive-by shooting. And I don't have to stand here this morning and give you a long list because you already know them. My point is this. I wonder how frightening life must be to individual people who conclude that he or she must go through these difficult patches in life without any resources or guidance from outside themselves. What would it be like to live through cancer if we did not have God helping us? Today's gospel suggests a way to approach facing the trials of daily living. As simplistic as it may sound, it suggests that while we acknowledge and we recognize the perils of life, our ultimate focus is not on them, but on Jesus. Mark does not provide the answer to why this man was demon-possessed or what that even meant. Nor does he give a series of steps that this guy could have taken to avoid it. What he does do is shift our focus from the malady to the Messiah, from the difficulty to the Divine One. Notice how quickly Jesus silenced the demons at about the time they were starting to identify him as the Son of God. You'd think that Jesus would welcome that. But yet, when seen considering Mark's entire gospel, we discover that Jesus did not want to become known as Mr. Fix-It. He did not want people to find room in their hearts for him only because they thought he was a miracle worker. Only because he thought he could get them beyond their troubles. He did not want people to follow him only because they thought he could be called upon simply to put bandages on a wound. And that's important for us as Christians today in 2018 to see. Because you see, we often hold those same expectations of Jesus, don't we? We expect him to be our miracle worker, our Mr. Fix-It, our invisible protective shield. His immediate action to silence those demons could just as well be for our benefit, lest we cling to our own unrealistic expectations. We need to be clear that Jesus' purpose was to free men, women, children, young adults, older adults, everybody, to give them a new relationship with God. To persons whose lives were cluttered by everyday care, he proclaimed that all people are created in God's image, and that we are all the jewel of God's creation. To people who are struggling with life's trials, he proclaimed that God's love is the anchor that will allow them to stand against the dangers both from within and without. Jesus is calling us into a relationship with God that pushes back our darkness, that pushes back our fear, and frees us to walk boldly, knowing that every single day of our life is worth the effort. In spite of all the difficulties we encounter. And my friends, that is doggone good news. Amen? It is not to argue whether or not there are really demons in the world. It is to proclaim a trust that believes that God's love is greater than anything the world can throw at us. That God's love is greater than any demon, any danger, any illness that we could ever have. Jesus is telling us about what God wants for us, and that is that relationship. It is a relationship with God that is based on trust. I'm sometimes afraid that such an expectation is just too simple for our scientific minds. We've been taught to challenge everything. We have to look for why something happens the way it does. But Jesus taught us in the scriptures, you have to be like a child. You have to trust. Just like your child trusts you before they understand what life is all about. That is where Jesus is leading us. How many of you can think back in your own faith journey and think about people who exhibited that kind of faith in their life? Maybe it was your mother. Or father. Or maybe it was one of your grandparents. Or maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was a friend. That's the kind of trust that God is calling us to. That is what faith is. Simple, basic trust. There's an old phrase that became quite cliche for a while, but you know, sometimes those cliches are really true. And it's, we need to let go and let God. There's a story about an African who had converted to Christianity, and he was walking with a missionary in his village. And I think we can learn a lot from Christians who live in places where there were other forms of religion, kind of these native religions that battle with Christianity for the hearts and minds of people. And one day, as the two men were walking through the jungle outside the village, the African man was reflecting on the change in his life that had been brought about by his faith in Christ. These jungles, he said, are very dark. And most of my life, I have walked through them in fear of demons that I was taught lived here. No longer walk in fear on these paths. There may be demons, or there may not be demons. But I belong to Christ, and that is enough. We who have been Christians all our life often take our faith for granted. Amen? We all need to hear what this African man's simple expression of trust says. The reality is that we all have our own jungles in life. They may be covered in vines, or they may be covered in concrete. And there may or may not be demons on that path, however they look, with horns and a tail, or whether they are just bad forces that move among us. But we belong to Christ. And if we belong to Christ, that is enough. Enough to help us push back the darkness and to trust in the God who loved us and created us. Let's remember that today and every day as we go through difficult times, as we question the things that happen in our lives and why they happen the way they do. Let's just trust that we belong to God and proclaim that that is enough. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are going to join together as Christian family now and gather around the table to accept Jesus.